The Bible this morning is found Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dare ask him any more questions. The key verse is found in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, part B. "Because the kingdom of God is in your midst." We will read together one more time. "Because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Our sermon has a title, "Are We Still Far Away?" This is a question, it's not a statement, based on our key verse in Luke chapter 17. "The kingdom of God is in your midst," Jesus said. In a different translation, "The kingdom of God is within reach." And other translation is "inside of you." The kingdom of God is within reach, or the kingdom of God is within you. And when we heard that the kingdom of God is within us, we are very happy. Can we experience that kingdom of God is within us, or we are still far away from the kingdom of God? So the Bible will encourage us to study the three important points of the lesson. The first is that there is an important question to be asked. We need to pose to ourselves a question. The second is that the answer to the question, we have to find the right answer to that question. And the third point, the important is an decision that we have to make. And when we have a question, the right question, and when we have the right answer, and when we have the right decision, then the kingdom of God will be close and among us. Let's all turn our heart and pray. Dear our God, we thank you because in your love, and this morning, we all together can worship online together. And I believe that though we may be at our own home, there may be a physical separation, but through the Holy Spirit, you give us the fellowship and you make our worship because it came worthy. And make our heart to be renewed. May you forgive our sins. And in this worship this morning, our offering that we bring to you will be from the bottom of our heart. And may we be worthy of your love. May your word teach us, Lord. So, and be with me as I share the message this morning. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear congregation, there's a story about three close friends living in a village. And they wanted to go to the other village through a river using a boat to go drinking in a bar. And from the shore, they took up a boat and go to the other, across the river to the other village. And they went into the bar and they drank. And afterward, they were so tired, they decided to go home. And one of them said, "Don't you rest, you rest, and I will row the boat back to the other side of the river." But after a while, he kept rowing, and half an hour or 45 minutes, and the boat is not getting to the other shore. He said, the other one said, "Maybe because you're drunk, you don't know how to row." And the second person keep rowing. Another hour passed, and he has not found the shore. It's safe. And the third person said, "Two of you are really, really drunk. Let me row the boat for you. Let me help you." And so the third person took up the paddle. Another hour, and the boat still has not reached the other shore. And now, so many hours has passed, we have not reached the other shore. And they were so tired, and they slept on the boat, passing the night. In the morning, they woke up and they saw that all three of them worked hard, but they did not untie the rope that tied the boat to the dock, and the boat has not moved an inch. They row and spend so much effort, but not getting anywhere. The Word of God said, if the kingdom of God is in the midst, that is a promise that the kingdom of God is very close to us. The first point is the important question in Mark chapter 12. There are a few has posed questions to Jesus. The first person is from the Pharisee. They put a question to Jesus. "Dear Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar?" And in Mark chapter 12, they ask this kind of question to trap Jesus. And Jesus has answered, "Whatever belongs to Caesar, give it to Caesar. Whatever belongs to God, give back to God." And after that, a few from the Sadducee posed. Sadducee is a sect that did not believe in the resurrection. And they posed a question to recount a story to Jesus. According to Mosaic law, when a woman married the oldest son of the family, and if that son passed away without any children, and then the woman has to marry the next brother, and if that second brother passed away without any children, then that woman must marry the third brother, and then the third, fourth, then the fifth, then the sixth, and finally the youngest all pass away. All seven of them pass away without any children. And when this woman enters into heaven, this woman will be the wife, all seven of them? They pose this question to Jesus because they did not believe in the resurrection. Maybe Jesus got stuck with this question, but Jesus said that. And he told them, "You don't understand. When you have resurrection, there will be no marriage." And there's a Pharisee who heard of other questions, and he heard Jesus answer them, and he said, "These answer from Jesus," he said, "is very good." And the scripture said, they saw that Jesus answered well, so that this person came to Jesus and posed another question. The question is, "Dear Jesus, in all of commandments, which one is the greatest?" And this question from the Pharisee to trap Jesus. The Sadducee also posed a question to trap Jesus, to deny the resurrection. But the question of this teacher of the Pharisee is not to trap Jesus. This is not a question that caused difficulty to Jesus, but in his heart, he recognized Jesus through the way Jesus answered the others. And here Jesus, he said, this person heard this answer from Jesus, he answered so well, showing the wisdom of God. And this Jesus' wisdom can answer all the difficult questions. So this person posed the question to Jesus, and it became a burden in his heart. And that question is, in all of the commandments, which one is the greatest? The rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, are the ones who are teaching laws to others. And they have their own particular rule set, 613 of them. 613 is a summary of the five books of Moses. And beside that, they also have more than 1,400 other legal things. And in of the Jewish rabbis, that question is not anything new. This has been an old question. They are wondering in the 1,613 legal commandments, which one is the most important? Some others have argued that the commandments from God is to keep the Sabbath must be most important. So anything related to the Sabbath must be very important. And others did not agree. They know that they argue that the offerings to God must be important. So any legal connection with the offering is important. Others argue that no, God is holy and God must command us to be holy, so that anything that related to the holiness must be the most important. And others argue that God commands us to love the poor, love the orphans, love the widows. So anything related to the love must be important. They argue among themselves from this year to that next year, from generation to other generation, and they could not receive any satisfaction answer. And in this particular situation, this particular teacher are teaching laws to the other. He needs to know in 613 legal commandments which one is the greatest. That teacher also learned the laws, but he did not understand which one is the greatest. So then, that's why he came to Jesus and asked Jesus, so Jesus can help him understand. There's a story about the owner of three dogs. One old dog, and then the other two is a younger puppy's dog. The older dog liked to lie near the fireplace, and the two puppies also want to lie near the fireplace. So there are certain evenings when the old dog could not go take up the position, the two puppies already take up the position there, so the old dog did not have a place to lie. And then the old dog went outside and barked. And when the bark from the old dog sounded, the two puppies ran after the old dog and keep barking. And the older dog, while the other are barking, went back to the fireplace and regained his spot. And the owner said, and smiled. And this repeated night after night. And every day that the old dog did not have a place, he went outside and barked. So that the two puppies went out and barked. And then the old dog went back and regained his spot. And the owner said, oh, this is a smart dog. The two puppies are so dumb. The two puppies were deceiving you, oh little puppies. And many times, how come you didn't learn your lesson? No, the old dog is smarter. They deceive you, old puppies. And one day, while he was sitting near the fireplace on his chair, and he saw the older dog who went out and keep barking. And all the two dogs followed to keep barking. The owner said, oh, this must be another trick by the old dog. But no, this time all three of them stay out and keep barking and barking. Maybe there is a stranger approaching. So he left his chair and walked outside, opened the door to see if there is anybody there. But when he examined around the house, nobody there. He closed the door and he scolded there. But when he came inside near the fireplace, the old dog has gained his chair and lying on his chair. A person thought that he is smart still can be deceived. A person thought that they or she is smart have to need the wisdom from God for guidance. You and I, we are facing the dark power of this world. This power can deceive us. Without God's guidance, we can be trapped into Satan's scheme. And we thought that the kingdom of God could be near, but yet we are far away from it. To help him understand, teacher of law, all of the teacher of the law, the Jewish, they have heard this commandment for long, but they don't understand to apply it into their life correctly. And in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. They thought that maybe when we teach the law or when we praise the Lord through our lips, Lord, Lord, or have a trust in God, but those are not by the lips by saying, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who does the will of the Father. And at that time, many would thought that they belong to the kingdom of God. They will be proud of what they achieve and say, I have, in your name, pushed out demons or people. Yes, you actually have used my name for miracles, but I don't know you. Why did Jesus say that? While they use his name to push out demons and perform miracles, because all of that, all they done, not by the Holy Spirit. They did it through their own effort, and they falsified the relationship with Jesus, so that in that time when Jesus returned, I do not know you in the last day. All the wicked be away from me. And this is something that will happen in the future. We thought that we are in kingdoms of God, but maybe we're still far away from it. Another portion of Matthew, Jesus rebuked, this nation used their lips but to praise me, but their heart is far away from me. They teach the law, but they do not understand. And all these hurt the Pharisee or make them feel uncomfortable. And the disciples tell Jesus, do you know that your words offended the Pharisee? But Jesus has said that to the crowd as well as to the disciple, listen and understand. So we only not listen, but listen and understand. But if we only listen that we do not understand, then it's still we are far away from the kingdom of God. Jesus rebuked them as hypocrites, like blind leading the blind, and both of them will all fall into the pit. So not just only listen, but have to understand the word of God as well. We may be proud because every week we can come to church and worship. Maybe we're faithful to be attending the church online like this. We may be proud because maybe we are teaching a class in church or the youngster in the church. We may be proud because we have a position of service in the church. But whatever we have heard, do we understand the Word of God? Whatever the Holy Spirit imparted into our heart, does it make us to understand in the correct way? Whoever does the will of God, and that person will inherit the kingdom of God. That one displeases God. May God let us to know exactly that we are doing the will of God. Maybe we are not in the kingdom of God, but still far away. What do I do, Jesus? That's an important question. Maybe something wrong in our life that from many years past, our service, it has a veil over to understand that God really wants from us. And how long we have not done the will of God, that we still be away from the kingdom of God. The second point is that to find the right answer for the question. We have to have the important question, but we need also an important answer that is correctly addressed the question. Jesus answered this, or not only answered to the teacher of the law, but to the crowd, to all of Israel. Jesus said, this is the most important one. All Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All Israel, listen. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Dear congregation, this particular answer from Jesus, this is like a written commandment. They call to listening, Shema is a verb, that each of the Jewish must listen to the word of God, because God is one, no other God. And Jesus answered not just for one person, it's for everybody. And the first is that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, that everybody in the Israel will know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. In this world, there are many kind of love, and each kind of love is based on certain emotion or foundation. If a male love a female, or a woman love a man, and they come each other, and they are planning to get married, and they live together, and then they get married. And this particular kind of love is based on the body of each other. They love each other, and they give each other his or her body. And then we have a mother loving a child, and this love from the emotion of the mother, from the heart, because that woman, this mother gave birth to her child, and then from that relationship, she loved him more than anything else. Or the parents have the love for his children, their children. It's based on the heart, the emotion, because of the relationship of family. And when this child grow up, he begin to develop the love for the parents. And that kind of love is based on the understanding that the parents are the one who gave me life, to raise me up, to gave me opportunity to be a useful citizen of this country. And that understanding caused him to love and respect the parents, or to love the teacher. But here, Jesus commands his children to love the Lord, to love with all the heart, the mind, and the soul. When we love the Lord, we have to use all our life to love, and all our soul to love God. When we love God, we love with all of our understanding, that is the mind. Because He has created us. He imparted a value into our soul to give life to our soul. And above all, we receive the saving grace that we will be with Him in eternal life. We will have to be caused the Holy Spirit to love God each day. And when we also use our strength, from our own strength, anything that we can express our love for God, we have to do it with all of our strength. When you do go to work, and if you want to have a better income, you have to find a better job, more difficult, more challenging. Or you have to go far away to find that job. And you have to take time to achieve in that job. When we love God, it's the same way. Hey, all our strength means that we use what we have, our own time, whatever our ability that God has given us, we have to use them. Whatever is in our life, we can talk with the Psalm of 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. But Jesus also put the second commandment. And verse 3, this is the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Mark continued, there is no commandment greater than these. Verse 31. First, we have to love the Lord. And this is from Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 5. It's a demand that the Israelite must understand, must apply. And the second commandment, Jesus, is from Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. This is to the people of Israel. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is a commandment found in Leviticus. The Jewish understand the word of God. When they love the neighbor, that means that neighbor must be Jewish. In their own understanding, the Jewish people understand that the neighbor is also Jewish. In their understanding, they do not understand neighbor is a Gentile. Because in their mind, the Gentile is condemned to eternal damnation. And that's the fate of the Gentile, predestined by God to eternal damnation. But here, Jesus has helped the teacher of the law to understand, and also the crowd, that all this Jesus, the neighbor, doesn't mean that it's only Jewish. Whoever that God put us in front or nearby, that is our neighbor. And in Luke chapter 10, has a parable of the Good Samaritan. Another person asked Jesus, who is the neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus recounted the parable of the Good Samaritan. And afterward, Jesus posed a question to the asking person. According to you, who is the neighbor? And that person answered, the one who helped the victim. And that's the neighbor of that person. And Jesus said, you answer correctly. Go and do things. You will experience the kingdom, eternal life. Go and do the same. And you will experience the kingdom of God within you, the congregation. The question is, who is my neighbor? It shouldn't be, who is my neighbor? But that person must ask, whose neighbor am I, Lord? And according to this parable, whoever is needing our help is that person's neighbor. In English, we have the word neighbor. That means someone living close to us. And the neighbor is someone who has a house next to us, live close by. But in Greek, the neighbor, that doesn't mean somebody who has a house next to us, but whoever is standing next to us. The one facing us, that is our neighbor. So that when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, that means could be a young man, a young woman, that could be older than us or younger than us. Could be more wealthy than us or more poor than us. It could be our own boss or could be our servant. That must be somebody close to us or somebody who hates us. Doesn't matter who that person is. We have to love that person just like us. That is the commandment. That is somebody God has put us in face to express God's love for us to that person. That particular love is not normal kind of love. That is a supernatural love. Only one born again by the Holy Spirit will have the ability to love like that. Whoever is a new creature in Christ, that person will have that ability to love the neighbor as his or herself. But in Christianity, when we talk about love, we talk about grace. Because God loved us first, and we use that love to love others. So, love in the Christian life to express the grace of God for us to others. And when that grace has no decision on who the neighbor is, when God expresses His grace to us, you and I, doesn't matter what kind of person we are, we can be wicked, we can be selfish, God's love is still with us. God expresses His grace. We may be born in a Christian family, living a good life, or we can be wicked, we receive the same grace from God. Because of this receiving of the grace, so that love is love within us that helps us to love our neighbor and our keepers. Though the kingdom of God is among us, within reach the kingdom of God. But if we could not find the right answer, that maybe we've been deceiving that we are far away from the kingdom of God. The third point is the important decision, the most important decision. We have a question. We have the right answer to the question. And we also must have an important decision to make. When the teacher of the law came to Jesus, the reason he came is because he saw that Jesus answered the others so well. The answer from Jesus gave are really good. But when teacher put a question to Jesus, and verse 32, Jesus said, "Dear Jesus, you answered correctly. Not only good, it's correct." The teacher of the law understand now. He now understands the commandment. And he repeated what Jesus has told him. He chose Jesus. You said correctly. There is no other God like our God. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is what the teacher of the law said to Jesus. When Jesus said, "You are very not far from the kingdom of God." Other person, they only listen, but they don't understand the word of God. This person has heard. Now he has the next step. Now he understands the commandments. Is that enough? In Joshua chapter 1, chapter verse 8. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. If we only listen, hear, and understand, but if we do not do, then we will not receive the kind of blessing that is promised to us. When we just stop short of doing the will of God, we will not enter the kingdom of God. So this teacher of law has the next step. He has listened and understand. The rest, they only hear the word of God. But this teacher of law have heard and now understand. But this is not enough to achieve what God wants us. He will not enter into the kingdom of God. So that's why Jesus says, "You are not far from the kingdom." But when you are near, does he enter the kingdom of God? No, not yet. He just closed the congregation. Maybe sometime when we shoot a bird with our gun and we say, I almost shot that bird dead. The congregation almost doesn't really count. The bird is still alive. We didn't kill that bird. Another person recounted, "When I crossed the road, I almost got hit by a car. Almost that car hit me." No, the car didn't hit him yet. So when Jesus said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," that means you are very close, but to close doesn't mean that that person has entered the kingdom of God, because only hear and understand, but he must take the next step, is to do the will of God. If the person just stop at the point of hearing and understand and not doing the will of God, that person still not has entered the kingdom of God. When your faith and mine today, if we have to stop at the hearing and the understanding, we are deceiving ourselves. And we're still far away from the kingdom of God. And before, I heard there is a rich person, Jesus recorded in Mark. He asked, "What do I do to gain eternal life?" And similar story that teaches about the commandment of God. And Jesus said, "You only lack one thing, and that is, you have to go home, sell all your inheritance, give it to the poor, and then follow me. And then you will have eternal life." But Mark said that person, he was so sad and turned away and walked away. That person has an expression that is sad because he could not sell all his possession. He could not do what Jesus commanded him. And in that story, in this our story today, the teacher of the law, we do not have a conclusion. And at that the story will stop right there without further conclusion. In Luke, they talk about the parable of the prodigal son. And the younger brother asked father to give him half of his inheritance. And he went away and he spent all of his possession. And finally, he has no more money on him. And he has to be a servant some other house, taking care of the pig. And wanted to eat the pots, but the master didn't allow him. And at that time, he realized that in my house, in my father's house, all the servants have plenty to eat. Now, myself here, sitting here, suffering from hunger. So he decided, I will get up, return home to my father's house. I would have committed sin against Father and God. Treat me as your servant. He only wished to become a servant, not even the son. Because there is no servant in my father's house has suffered like me. When he just afar from home, the father saw him and ran out and embraced his son and said, the servant put the ring on his finger, put the sandals on his feet, put a robe around him, and kill the calf and celebrate. The older brother came home, sawing many joyful and music inside, asking the servant, what happened? What's that noise? Your son now returned home. And your father was so happy, so he threw a party. And the Bible said, the older son got angry and did not want to enter the house. The relationship between the son, the older son, and the father is separated now. But the father came out and said, to ask him to come in. And the older son said, I have worked so hard in my life. Even you didn't give me a young calf to celebrate with my friends. Now, your oldest, younger son came home. That means he did not recognize that younger son is a son now. There's no relationship in the mind of the older son. He has spent all his possession in the faraway country. Now he is treated like that. The father said, whatever I have is yours, he told his older son. If that older brother understands, then he would not be angry like that. The father did not stop the son from celebrating his friend or the older son to kill a calf to enjoy himself. But that older brother did not understand the relationship. He regarded himself just as a servant. It's not a son. He has no understanding of that relationship. And so the father said, your old younger brother, he was lost, as now is he found. Your younger brother was lost, now he returned home. We should celebrate. And Jesus said, Jesus did not have a conclusion. He stopped right there. So that's for you and I to draw our own conclusion. Should the brother come in the house? Or should the brother remain outside and be angry? It depends on us. And similarly, this story that we have, Jesus did not say whether this particular teacher of the law will do the will of God or not. Jesus just said, the kingdom of God is not far from you. And Jesus stopped there. And Jesus led us to draw our own conclusion according to our understanding. We want to enter the kingdom of God, or we want to stay afar from the kingdom of God. It's a story about a fifth grader, younger in the class, there are many competitions, and each day there is one competition. And the first day, she told her mother, "I have won the competition. Today I have been voted the prettiest girl in the class." And the mother say, "Very good, daughter." The next day, she returned, and he also was very happy. She was proud to say, "Mother, I won another competition." And she said, "What did you win this time?" "Today, I voted the most likely to succeed." And the mother said, "Very good, daughter." The next day, she came home and told her mother another very happy moment. "I have won again." And the mother said, "What did you win today?" And she said, "I've been voted the most popular." But the next day, she came home extremely upset. She was so sad. The mother said, "What happened? Did you lose this time?" Right? She said, "Oh, no, I won. I won too today." "But why are you so sad? Why were you voted this time?" "Today, I won that I am the most stuck up that do not play with others." Dear congregation, Martin Luther once said, "A religion that gives nothing, or religion that costs nothing, but the religion that suffers nothing, and that religion is worth nothing." If it's only religion, you and I, if we even enter the organization, does not have to sacrifice, does not suffer anything, and we will worth nothing for God. You and I, we are put in a situation in challenging time, in difficulty time, but even we have to sacrifice, we have to pay the price. But Jesus said, "Hey, the kingdom of God is in your midst, in your heart, in your reach." So you and I, if we do not do the will of God, then the important decision today, that means the promise is there, and yet it's not fulfilled within us. May the Word of God bless you and encourage you. When we have the promise, we have to rest in the peace that God wants to give us. There, the kingdom of God is among you. And we have to make sure that we belong to God yet, belong to the kingdom yet. Let's all pray. Dear our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are patient with us. Many times we do not understand. We deceive ourselves. Many times we are proud of ourselves, and proud of all of our achievements, to suffer, to sacrifice for you. That will bring us into the kingdom of God. But we forgot that whoever does the will of God will inherit the kingdom of God. May you remind us that we have put a question important so that we can have an answer how you want us to conduct our life. Please remind us that have we find the correct answer, the important answer to the question? Have we expressed your love to love you according to your word, and then to love our brothers as ourselves. May we make an important decision. We may not be proud, but our hearts still far away. May we not deceive ourselves, Lord. May we make an important decision to belong to your kingdom and to belong as your children. May you use your word to encourage us, and you would bless us with your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.